football on off the ball.
Well, I think man management is far more nuanced nowadays, as you're suggesting, because the dressing rooms have changed. You've got players from different faiths, different cultures, different communities, and you've got to reflect all that. These are player whisperers as well as player shouters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, we're going to be speaking to our Gaelic Games correspondent Tommy Rooney from 7:30 on a proposal that might alter the split season. Pádraig Duffy's been working on a group that might push back the All-Ireland finals by 2 weeks, the football final by 2 weeks, the hurling final by a week. So the knock-on impact of that is a question that we have. We'll be getting Tommy Rooney on from 7:30 to chat about that. Between 8 and 9, we'll be bringing you the sounds from our Ulster Hall Roadshow in Belfast last night. We'll have more on that very soon when we're chatting at rugby in the news round. And from 9 o'clock then, the football show with Owen Doyle, who's with us for the night, and Gavin Cooney will also hop on. Owen Doyle, first of all, very good evening to you.
Evening, Owen.
Cameron Hill, how are you doing?
Good evening, Owens.
We will begin, though, with the news that has broken in the last couple of hours. And it was always going to happen, really, when you saw that there was a 25% chance of Ireland drawing Israel in the Nations League. That's exactly what happened. So top seed in their UEFA Nations League for 26-27 is going to be Israel. They've also drawn Austria and Kosovo. The FAI have come out quickly. They are going to fulfil the fixture, they say. So in a statement issued a couple in the last hour or so, they said, the Football Association of Ireland confirms that the Ireland men's national team will fulfil their 2026 UEFA Nations League fixtures against Israel after being drawn together in Group B3. In 2025, a motion was proposed by members of the FAI General Assembly to vote on issuing a formal request to the UEFA Executive Committee for the immediate suspension of the Israel Football Association from UEFA competitions for a breach of UEFA statutes. Members then voted in favour to submit the motion to UEFA, which the association did in November 2025. While consultation has taken place with UEFA officials, the association does recognise that UEFA regulations outline that if an association refuses to play a match, then that fixture will be forfeited and further disciplinary measures may follow, including potential disqualification from the competition. So just a reminder as to what this submission to UEFA actually involved. This was back in November at the FAI Extraordinary General Meeting. There was a proposal submitted by Bohemians to the FAI General Assembly, and the proposal cited two alleged violations of the UEFA statutes by the Israel Football Association. So these two violations are organising clubs in occupied Palestinian territories without the consent of the Palestinian FA. And then the other one was the alleged failure of the Israeli Football Association to enforce an effective anti-racism policy. So those were the two ideas put forward to UEFA. And this motion, before it was submitted to UEFA, it required support from 50% of FAI delegates to pass. And it passed by a majority with 74 votes in favour, 7 against and 2 abstentions. So a vast, vast majority of people, of the delegates, voted in favour of submitting this to UEFA. Now, what has actually happened with this is a big question. And Dan McDonald writing today that after the FAI wrote to UEFA to follow up on this, UEFA replied to say they were effectively standing by an earlier call that no UEFA matches will be played in the territory of Israel until further notice. However, their teams would still be able to participate. Hungary obviously has been used as a base by the national team. You'd expect Ireland are off to Budapest. And then on Thursday morning, this morning obviously, a couple of hours before the draw, Alexander Seferin, who is the UEFA president, indirectly referred to Israel while asserting the company position towards the subject. Keep European football out of political matters. It did not create. UEFA will always seek solutions to keep the ball rolling. We can change venues but not change our values, is what he said. He was also speaking about Russia earlier on today and making the point that UEFA are going to stand by the ban on Russia in UEFA competitions. However, did kind of leave the door ajar for a FIFA-esque sort of reconciliation with Russia. Not quite Infantino level of welcoming Russia back into the fold, but you wouldn't be particularly surprised if this is the first step in a widening stance on that. But as things stand, Israel can continue to compete in UEFA competitions, according to Seferin, and Russia cannot. It's pretty black and white the way they see it, and it is black and white the way the FAI see it. Ireland will fulfil these fixtures in 2026, 2027. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. The FAI are in a bit of a logistical situation here, Owen. This is going to be something that rumbles on and on and on. There might be a pause when we're focused on you know, Prague and hopefully Dublin next month, and hopefully a World Cup in the summertime. But once that World Cup is out of the way, this is going to be right back in the view for the FAI, and the calls for boycotts are not going to stop.
A very temporary pause, I assume, literally just for the 90 minutes of the game. It's such a heated topic, especially in Ireland. And look, obviously the FAI, from, they obviously feel very backed into a corner here, I assume. And look, from an administrative point, saying they're going to fulfil the fixture, I'd understand it when sanctions, and that's their role, to look after the game in Ireland and stuff. My view on it be slightly different. I think this is a great opportunity for Ireland to stand on the right side of history. Over 40,000 women and children killed by the IDF in Israel. Over 450 footballers, many of them children, have been killed. And like, the greater scheme of things, sporting sanctions are temporary, but the loss of all these lives are permanent. I think it's a really, really good opportunity for Ireland in particular to stand up here and boycott this. Before a boycott, I understand the FAI's approach to this. It's putting an awful lot of people in a really uncomfortable position, players, managers, all the likes.
What will it take to change their stance on this is a big question I'd have. Is it overwhelming national sentiment against these fixtures taking place? Because right now it's a fairly straight thing where it's like, we are going to suffer the consequences of this on the football pitch down the line if we don't fulfil these fixtures.
Yeah, I think the sanctions being labelled out black and white will be first and foremost what they'll be looking at, I'd assume. They need to ask them questions, I think. What does happen if we do boycott this game? Like, what will you do to us if we boycott this game? That's important, because we don't know. We just hear things like fines, sanctions, maybe expelled from future tournaments. But like, let's have it. Like, what will you do to us if we do boycott this game?
Take Euro 2028 off us.
Yeah, you never know. Like, you never know. Obviously, from the Association's point of view, like financially, that's disastrous, you know.
Yeah.
So you're at the beck and call of UEFA here if something like that was to come down on them. But listen, like, player unrest, management unrest, fan unrest, all that stuff is going to be loud and proud now. Maybe not so much from the playing staff and the management, maybe, but certainly from the fans and the people of Ireland. There's a lot of noise going to be created.
We've had this conversation quite a bit when it comes to the national women's basketball team, who've been in the fixtures against Israel, obviously went forward with playing them. And the question around the opportunity for boycott is definitely something that I'm very interested in, because I think every organisation will hope that they're not the first ones. Every organisation will look to either a different country or to a different sporting organisation and hope that somebody else leads the way, and then it becomes a bit of a movement, and then it becomes a normalised boycott. Because there hasn't been a big example of this, I'm sure there's been minor examples in sport, but in terms of big movements that have happened on this front, the Republic of Ireland as an association now has the opportunity to be the first and to actually lead a movement on this front. Whether or not they'll do it, I'm not sure. I presume these fixtures will take place in a neutral venue. It'll happen in Budapest and maybe in Dublin with no away fans. But I do wonder, will they consider the opportunity here? The opportunity here, given what their own members have tried to put forward to UEFA and have put forward to UEFA last November from that EGM. I wonder, will they consider the sentiment within Ireland and within the FAI to actually do something extraordinary here? Because I don't want to say that there isn't going to be a boycott, but I think it would be an extraordinary step at this stage.
Well, whatever happens in terms of the fulfilment of the fixtures, it's going to be so... I'm really interested to see how Ireland fans react to this, and if that game takes place in the Aviva Stadium, what kind of turnout there is, regardless of the away fans and the sort of stipulations around that, because there was an incredibly large and vocal support of boycotting the Irish women's basketball team and calling on the players, not just the Basketball Ireland, to do the right thing and not play this game. And some players made that choice, and they have that, they were right to, and you know, the various different oppositions, they were right to have their stance on it, and other players decided to play the game and they're entitled to that choice too. But there was a lot of people questioning whether that game should go ahead, and the scruples and morals of Basketball Ireland and whether anyone would attend that. I would say, no disrespect to Basketball Ireland or Irish basketball, this is on a far... this is the biggest scale it could possibly take place on.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens? How is the fan reaction? How is the public reaction to this? That's the one for me. As you say, the FAI have made their position clear, and the stakes of potentially having the hosting of Euro 2028 being taken off you, like that's a significant factor in all this, you'd have to assume. But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
I think what happens here is that everybody kicks responsibility up. So I think FAI, when they look for guidance on this, if they're open to changing their minds, sure, they might listen to their members to push them in that direction, but they'll be looking up. They'll be looking to the Irish government, and they'll be looking to UEFA for guidance on this. Now, UEFA, as we've seen today, are pretty clear on this. If they kick this up to the Irish government, you'd wonder what their response to this will be, because that brings in the Euro 2028 question as well. They're like, you're going to do what to the Exchequer, which shouldn't come into play here at all if you're serious about a boycott. Mm. But I suspect that might be a conversation that'll have when the protests around this fixture inevitably, and rightly so, reach fever pitch.
It's very, very difficult. It feels very dangerous. It feels like a very dangerous thing to happen, for this game to happen.
For who? What are you thinking?
Everyone involved, yeah. Like even a home fixture here. I know the away fixture won't be played in Israel. They've been playing in Hungary, I think. But like the home fixture here, like that'd be an intense day around Dublin.
Yeah.
In the Aviva. Even knowing there's a Israeli fans going around the place and maybe waving flags through town, having a few drinks, all that stuff.
I'd be astonished if there was away fans in that game.
Knowing that there's a group of Israeli football players representing their country staying in the hotel here is something that could be potentially very dangerous. Just it feels very unsafe to me. Like.
It's even the minutiae and things you don't even consider. Like if Palestinian flags are flown at the Aviva Stadium for that game, the FAI will be fined by UEFA for the political statement. You know, like it's such a mess. Like that's just the only word I can use to describe it. That suddenly this can of worms has been totally opened, and look, it'll be a while as we litigate it and relitigate it over the next while. But I'm fearful. It's probably the overriding emotion.
We do have some Hamer Halgrimsson audio here. He was speaking at the draw in Brussels earlier on.
Well, it's a tough group, and it was always going to be a tough group for us. Austria, obviously, maybe the hot runner, qualified really early for the World Cup. Israel, always a tough opponent. There's a lot of things outside football as well when we play them, so trying to stick to the football side of it. And then we have Kosovo that has been in a really good run of form. I think from the last 15 games, they've drawn 2, lost 2, and won 11 games. So impressive record from Kosovo. So tough group.
Tough group. And what's your aim within the group?
Yeah, I think we like to stay in League B at least. Hopefully we can take the next step and be closer to qualifying to League A. It's always the ambition to play against the best teams.
Okay, Hamer Halgrimsson speaking earlier on today. A couple of texts coming in. Joan Galway says, Israel and fans here is impossible. Wouldn't be surprised if the games are played at a neutral venue with no fans. Yeah, that does seem like a likelihood. Certainly, there will definitely not be a situation where Ireland and Israel flags will be in the same stadium, either here or in Budapest. I just cannot see that happening. Dara Burns on YouTube says 100% boycott. Some things are bigger than sport. John O'Shea says this isn't about right or wrong. This is a genocide in our time. Does UEFA Nations League playoff matter? Obviously not in that context. Nigel Gallagher says they shouldn't play the fixtures, full stop. We are going to speak to Daniel Lambert from 7:30 on the show this evening. It was him and obviously Bohemians who put that motion together that made it to UEFA. So we'll be getting a bit more detail on that from Daniel in about 15 minutes' time. So let's press pause on the Ireland-Israel story for now. Cameron Hill, where do you want to take us next?
Just run through some of the other groups from today's Nations League draw. Oh, and England will face their Euro 2024 final opponent, Spain, in A. So Croatia and Czech Republic also share that group. Wales, who are also in the top tier of the competition, have been drawn against Portugal, Denmark and Norway. Scotland will meet Switzerland, Slovenia and North Macedonia in League B, with Northern Ireland having matches against Hungary, Ukraine and Georgia.
Okay, let's move it on.
Well, Brentford boss Keith Andrews has warned that leaders Arsenal that star striker Igor Thiago is hungry for more goals when the two sides meet tonight. The Brazilian has 17 Premier League goals so far. Erling Haaland has more this season. Andrews was asked how he plans to approach an Arsenal defence who've conceded the fewest goals in the Premier League so far.
Pretty good attacking team ourselves. We've got a lot of strengths to how we play the game. there's absolutely no doubt it's going to be a really, really difficult game. I agree with you, they are the best team in the country. The table doesn't tend to lie. They've got so many talented individuals that are capable of moments, and then equally the way that Mikel has the team set up and how they can hurt you in different phases of the game. You have to be on things for every minute of the game, every second of the game, to try and nullify what they throw at you. So we'd have to produce a top performance.
A win would take the Gunners 6 points clear at the top of the Premier League table. Manager Mikel Arteta says he's expecting a challenging encounter.
It's going to be a really tough game. We know that the run that they are in, how strong they've been at home as well, the last few results that they had, the work Keith and the coaching staff are doing, amazing. Big credit to them because they are a top side.
Team news from that game. So there's one change to the Brentford side tonight. Yehor Yarmolyuk coming in for Jordan Henderson. Nathan Collins on the bench for Keith Andrews' side tonight. Four changes to the Arsenal side that beat Sunderland 4-0 at the weekend. Christian Mosquera, Piero Hincapié, Eberechi Eze and Victor Gyökeres coming into the starting lineup. There's also a boost with Bukayo Saka and Martin Odegaard on the bench after respective injuries.
What do you think is going to happen here, Owen? This feels like a significant enough game. I know every game feels significant when a team is trying to hunt down their first title in 20 years, but it just kind of gets the sense that if they can get all 3 points away at Brentford, a team that are flying at the moment, that's a big message right back to Manchester City after last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all Keith Andrews tonight, aren't we? Team Keith Andrews, so maybe not you.
You know, I'm on the fence on all matters that people can take opinions
sacrifice.
On.
I like all Premier League teams.
Sacrifice 3 points now for Keith Andrews to win, but Arsenal to win the league. Obviously it would.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. I mean, I was at the reverse fixture of this, actually, and I remember Keith Andrews left Nathan Collins on the bench, resting him on that occasion. Thiago was left on the bench that night and certainly wasn't his strongest team. It was pre-Christmas, a build-up of fixtures, and they really troubled Arsenal. They should have gone 1-0 up there. I remember there was a really good opportunity from a set piece early on. So this is going to be a very sticky fixture for Arsenal. It's not quite like that Leeds situation 2 weeks ago where kind of once one goes in, they tend to kind of sort of fade away. And to be fair, something similar happened with Sunderland last weekend. I'm not sure Brentford have that flakiness in them.
Do you think Thiago's your answer, Arsenal's answer to having a proper striker?
Is Arsenal's proper striker not called Victor Gyökeres?
You tell me. I mean, as an Arsenal fan.
If you've got short-term memory and 2026 is the only thing you're judging off, there's no better striker in the league, Owen.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
We'll see. I don't know. Like he has started this calendar year quite well. I think he's starting to turn a corner. Quite where that actually is going to end up, I'm not sure. Is that going to become a 20-goal-a-season Premier League striker? Maybe not. But stranger things have happened. Like if he keeps up this rate of scoring, you're looking at him at the start of next season being like, he's definitely not a problem in this squad, regardless of how the season ends. Cameron, where do you want to take us next?
Well, an 8 o'clock start at the GTEC Community Stadium tonight for that potential Manager of the Year derby. First up in rugby today, Ulster's Cormac Isichukwu and Rob Balakoon are both named to start Ireland's Six Nations clash with Italy on Saturday. Six changes from the defeat to France this time last week. Craig Casey, Jack Conan, James Lowe and James Ryan also starting that game at the Aviva Stadium. Tadhg Byrne drops to the bench with Josh van der Fleer left out of the matchday squad altogether. And there's a possible international debut for Munster's Edwin Adogbo. He's named among the replacements. Head coach Andy Farrell says he's pleased with how his team responded in training this week after a tough night in Paris.
Yeah, very happy because nobody was holding back. So there's a lot of honesty there. There's no excuses. So we tried to get back to simplifying things down and understanding what it is that we're trying to stand for as a team, etc. So again, you know, you always think preparations are going to go right, but until you get a smack in the face, certainly in Paris, then you get to find out a bit about yourselves. But the good thing about that is, you know, 9 days later, we get to have another crack at it. People need to step up to show them the way of what it takes to be an Ireland international, and it's up to everyone in the room. Certainly our experienced guys to show the way as far as that's concerned, because if that's shown to them in the right manner, those two kids will follow that.
We were up at Ulster Hall last night in Belfast. We'll be bringing you a good section of that between 8 and 9. And word had just filtered through before we went on stage that Rob Balakoon and Cormac Isichukwu were about to start for Ireland. So the crowd were in uproarious form needless to say, we had Stephen Ferris and Andrew Trimble up there alongside Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. It was an absolutely brilliant night. Ulster Hall is just a stunningly beautiful place. I mean, way too beautiful for mugs like my own to be sitting up there in an armchair talking about rugby. But thankfully, there was lots of sense coming from our guests, and they were in spectacular form.
Made famous by Rory Gallagher. He was one of the few Irish acts who would cross the border from south to north during the Troubles and play in Ulster Hall. So,
right.
An iconic music venue and venue generally. So, you've joined history there, Owen.
That's it, exactly. That's exactly what was top of my mind. Thank you very much for that little ego boost, Cameron. This team, really interesting. He has, to all intents and purposes, wielded the axe.
Yeah, Josh van der Vleer will feel it's that. Yeah, well, I don't know. How does he feel? Does it kind of just deserved? Josh van der Vleer tends to be quite frank and candid about when he's dropped and feels when it's deserved or otherwise. But yeah, it's a really, really interesting team. I think Itachukwu going into six means that Doris will play at seven tomorrow or on Saturday, and Jack Conan will take up the number eight shirt. So, he's taken out his wings as well. Tommy O'Brien and Jacob Stockdale paying the price for a tough night in the air, and James Lowe coming in as well with Rob Balakoon on the right. I know Mirko Bergamasco, Italian great and actually former Gaelic footballer with Nantes, of course, was on Off the Ball Breakfast earlier today with Cullum and Keith Tracy, and he's pretty confident. I think the Italians have their dander up. It's the second time they've gone into the second round of the Six Nations off the back of a win. I have a bad feeling about the game, honestly. I know everything should tell you that Ireland are going to bounce back and there's going to be a response. Just the way that Italy attack, especially on the counter-attack, on the wings, those are the two places that Ireland are most vulnerable, and Leinster are most vulnerable when you think of the season so far. Ooh, I don't know about this one.
Are you thinking that Italy are going to come and win?
They're really strong in areas where Ireland have been weak all season. So their front row is class as well. And it'll be a big day for Jeremy Lochman and Thomas Clarkson, who did very well against France in Paris last week. I think it'll be very, very tight. There's something about Italy and something about playing a team like Italy where you're expected to win that sometimes brings out a poor performance against this Ireland team. And
the only thing is that I totally get what you're saying. That often happens though when Ireland are in good form or expectations are very high. Mm. At least everybody in the camp is on high alert this week that an upset could happen. The sort of they've beaten Ireland once statistic is going to be thrown out there this week quite a lot, and I think everybody's just on high alert in that camp. That's the one thing I would say, but you're right, they were so good last week against Scotland as well, and they've been building for quite some time, so it is going to be a nervy one. Do you want to run us through some of the rest of today's news before you wrap up, Cameron?
Yeah, so we've got another game in the Women's Champions League this evening in the last 16, Manchester United kicking off away to Atletico Madrid at 8 o'clock for the first leg there. Dundalk have signed Shelburne teenager Tyreek Wilson, Tyreek Wilson on a permanent deal. The Dubliner made 91 appearances for the Reds, having joined in late 2022, was a key part of their title winning squad in 24. He joins brother John Ross at Oriel Park this season. And Italy secured their first ever win at a major cricket tournament with a 10-wicket thrashing of Nepal at the T20 World Cup today. They bowled the Nepalese out for 123 runs before brothers Justin and Anthony Muska racked up 97 runs between them after 10 overs. Italy, who count Irish cricket great Kevin O'Brien among their coaching staff, reached their target with 7.2 overs to spare. It puts them above England in Pool C. The English slipped to fourth yesterday after defeat to the West Indies.
They were calling that the Kevin O'Brien derby all week long because, of course, as you guys well know, he would have carved out a section of his career in Kathmandu. And he's living in Kathmandu, playing for a different team in Nepal. But he's a legend of the game out there. Could be a legend of the coaching game as well, Cameron. You were making the point this could be a bad omen for Saturday.
It could be a bad omen for Saturday. Italy doing things in the Winter Olympics and in the
T20. Are they doing in the Winter Olympics?
Apparently they're winning all of the medals.
Right.
That's the talk so far. And obviously it's their home Olympics. Remember 2020 was the year of Italy because they won. Did they win Eurovision and also
the 100 metres in the Olympic Games?
And the Euros the year later.
Oh yeah.
So I think we're having another one of those Italian years. Again, not a great sign for Saturday.
No. No, at least we're not playing them in the football next month. That's the one silver lining. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for that. Owen Doyle, you'll be with us for the evening till the bitter end as we're watching Arsenal versus Brentford a little later on in the football show. After 9 o'clock, Gavin Cooney's going to talk to us about Republic of Ireland drawing Israel, and we're going to stick with that after ads as well here, because Daniel Lambert of Bohemians is going to join us on the line.
Off the ball.